Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, June 1st, and you are listening to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
Frankie Val and Beans.
Frankie Val and Beans. You know what's funny? Someone was asking me the other day, how come he calls himself Val?
That's the first three letters of my last name.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
So there you go.
I have coffee today, Frank.
Good for you. I have nothing.
Well, hopefully Lauren brings you some coffee.
I won't see her until a little bit after noon, but either way. Coffee. Either way. Yeah, so, yeah, coffee's got to wait.
Yeah, well, listen, so I'm not in a very chipper mood today. And so I like for the first time ever, I think I'm going to give a disclaimer before the show begins. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I really don't. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how it'll come out. I don't know if you'll appreciate it or not. I'm just giving you a warning if you're not ready for some like really serious nonsense from me today, and probably you too. I mean, this is the first time we've had the opportunity to talk since this nonsense, this craziness has started.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you since, well, this last week. Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's happening around this country right now, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it, is literally war. There is a war ongoing right now in cities across the country between the radical left who have organized in different social movements and are now coming together to try to take the country down. That's just plainly what's happening.
Oh, we're in the end game now.
This is it. This is where rubber meets the road. And, you know, there's a lot of things to unpack here with this because they, like, to me, I'm sitting here looking at this and I'm saying this is way too organized and way too strategized for it to have been randomly spurred up over the death of this person, Floyd. There's just no way. So then that leads me to question the death of this person, Floyd.
Yep.
Who never should have died. I mean, if so, there's two. Everybody was in agreement about this. There was no one saying that this officer acted correctly. And then you think about it and you're like, this, it's too organized. It happened too quickly in too many places. Pallets of bricks being delivered everywhere, you know, and even the people involved in these grassroots protests, rightfully angry about what happened to George Floyd, are starting to say, hey, hold on a second. You know, this is not what we're doing. This is not us. And you've got, you know, African-American people scolding these white soy boy teenagers. And then you start to think about, Frank, the entire country was forced to be wearing masks against all medical guidance. The prisoners were let out of jail in liberal cities strategically, it looks like at this point. This all can't be a coincidence. Any rational thinking person is starting to look deeper.
No, it's not. It's and then you say you take it a step further and you see people, you know, the blue check marks that are always trying to put some kind of a really amazingly poignant spin on everything. And they say, if they go over all the reasons why society is messed up. And then at the end they go vote.
Yeah.
Vote for what? Do you see where all this crap is happening? Vote for what? How could the candidates that you are insinuating we vote for change what's happening in these cities or these states in totality? It's unbelievable. And it's 100% coordinated. We're looking at an end game Tet offensive right now. I brought that up on, I believe, Saturday night's show. I did an impromptu show on Saturday night. If you know anything about contemporary military history and what went on in Vietnam, then you should know a little bit about the Tet offensive. And that's what we're living through right now.
Can you explain that for everyone? Because I don't know what it is.
Well, it was pretty much the Vietnamese New Year. There was organized Viet Cong, North Vietnamese army movements and attacks that were set up in dozens, if not over 100 cities all at the same time. Now, it would have been a lot more effective had they not been prematurely launched in some places. They gave American forces and their allies a little bit of time to prepare for what was coming. But it's pretty much the whole idea of you have an inlaid army living among the population that's waiting for activation orders. And you have the Antifa, these anti-fascists, which I love people go, does the president know he just pretty much endorsed fascism because Antifa literally means anti-fascism. That is such a hot take, you retard. That's such a hot take. Somebody calls themselves good, so everything they do must in fact be good. That's amazing. But either way, you look at this and I'm saying, all right, well, this is complete endgame. This is endgame gameplay right here. And it's been happening. It's been waiting. And we have been completely zonked out. Everything we talk about on normal days with education and programming and propaganda in the media and entertainment and all that, it has prepped us for these unbelievable schisms, intellectual and philosophical schisms right now, where people are looking at unmitigated disasters, violence, meaningless violence. They're looking at this and they're actually seeing that there's something noble in it. The fact that there is a schism on how to even interpret what we're looking at right now just goes to show you need to take precautions in your life. And it may require, I'm not only looking at land far upstate and into rural New York. I'm looking at options to get out of the country right now, because I don't think it's going to get much better.
So it all boils down to what actions are taken at this point to stop this stuff, you know, and so this didn't just happen overnight. And I'm sure the federal government has been embedded in and investigating this for a long time. This is not new. We knew these people existed. We've got them on tape talking about what they want to do. You know, the Project Veritas uncovering. If you think that that's the only, you know, evidence that is available, I think that's crazy. And again, you don't telegraph your battle plan to try to combat this. And President Trump right now, I believe, is leaving this up to the governors in the states where this stuff is happening, because to bring in a military response, meaning actual military, like outside of the National Guard, is something they are daring him to do. And So he is very cautiously handling the circumstances. And, you know, I got to say, the DC stuff going on right now, these people are they willing? Do you think that a lot of these people have signed up to do this, Frank? Do you think that they're literally willing to lay down their life?
Yeah.
So if this gets worse in D.C. and these people try to take on the White House, they will be swiftly met with death.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is one step up from what they were trying to set up with the caravans in 2018. They don't care. They don't care. Everybody uses this man, George Floyd's name, so casually. It's one of those things that ever since Trayvon Martin, I have felt so uncomfortable with how casual we use these people. You have all of these stiff reporters, these anchors with their serious faces on television or, you know, talking very concerned on radio and something, or, you know, clear unaware, you know, unrest continues over the death of George Floyd. At least call him Mr. Floyd, Mr. George Floyd. Stop with this casually using people's names. It's so uncomfortable. Who, you know, like, nobody knows any. I mean, I just, this is it's been made so personal. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. I think that's what makes me most uncomfortable, because it is spun in such a personal, intimate way. But at the same time, all of the response, it has absolutely nothing to do with him. This has nothing to do with justice for one person or another, when the people who allegedly killed him are already in jail.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, burning the flag. There's a woman this morning trending on Twitter. She's an archaeologist that works for.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah. She's explaining to folks how to remove or pull down the Washington Monument.
Well, she was trying to be diplomatic and kind of like tongue in cheek by bringing up tips and tricks from Egyptologists on how to pull down obelisks.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, she said, oh, by the way, I am not saying to pull down the Washington Monument. Yeah.
Okay, because this is Twitter, I need to clarify. Please do not pull down actual ancient Egyptian obelisks. That was not the point of this thread. The tweet before that says, watch that son of a bitch topple. Get the F out of the way. It will smash. Run away from direction. Then celebrate because Black Lives Matter, and good riddance to any obelisks pretending to be ancient Egyptian obelisks when they are in fact celebrating racism and white nationalism. These people are lunatics.
And they're not going away. But that's why I said the deep state is us. This is the final. You know, I almost feel for the Soviets, the old Soviets, because they never really actually the Soviet Union didn't even stick around to witness what they had inlaid in the nation. They never survived to see what the real fruits of their labor of the infiltration in 20th century really was. Because look at this, third generation of red diaper doper babies. And it's just an army. It's an army living inside of the population. And people don't want to start getting violent. People don't want to. But you know what? The things I have seen last night alone were so dark and so evil. That couple being beaten nearly to death in Rochester, New York, to hear a man screaming helplessly because he cannot help his wife. He can't overpower the four animals. The feral behavior coming out of human beings. I mean, they got two arms, two legs, but there's something so animalistic about what's coming out of people right now. It's very disturbing. I'm surprised I got to sleep last night.
Me too. I'm waiting for the militia to get organized and start taking this into their own hands, because that's where we're at.
It won't take that much longer. It won't take that much longer before people who aren't even a part of formal militias just start banding together with their neighbors. I mean, I for the first time last night, I made sure that not only was my shotgun readily available, but I had a couple of well placed shells all around the house too. So it's just one of those things. And you want to, here's the creepy thing, Tracy. I'm saying to myself, I cannot believe, but then again, I cannot believe that within the course of 4 weeks, I would be locking certain doors, certain ways, and preparing to defend the home with lethal force if necessary for two completely unrelated reasons.
Yeah.
You know, first I'm thinking about social breakdown of this virus and people taking advantage of those being shacked up or maybe running out of food if there's some kind of a food crisis. And then here we are a month after that and nobody's even talking about COVID anymore. And I'm worried about potential, you know, suburban invasions of race rioters.
Look, and you know, that's the thing. Like they're all over Twitter. They're talking about moving into the suburbs. What point are they trying to like? I understand that that's a stupid question, but what are they trying? I mean, they're just going to start burning down random people's houses.
Well, the more police departments they have kneeling to them, like it's an invading army is coming into town, and the locals are laying down their arms. What we're seeing is really just nationwide capitulation, and or at least what's being shown on, you know, for the most part. I mean, there's a lot of silver linings out there, people doing good things, you know, moments of true solidarity, and but to see how this is being dragged once again by a very insidious and well-organized force. Everybody's being dragged by an invisible hand here.
And the left is just all on board. There's not been one politician on the left who has said a word to condemn what's happening here. That's why they are the enemy of this country. They are the enemy. They have been asleep in their violent sort of encroachment for years and years, just waiting for the moment when they didn't get their way, because the election of President Trump completely screwed their plans. And I don't care what anybody says anymore. If that hadn't happened, we would have all been unarmed, disarmed at this point by now. And there would be no hope at ever getting this country back. But I really firmly believe we are literally at war right now with an absolutely horrific enemy. And these next few months and years are going to define what happens to this country moving forward. And you may be, you know, someone in your 50s who lives in the suburbs, who likes to go about their day and has not a violent bone in your body, but you need to be ready to defend yourself against this. And, you know, I'm ready to defend myself against it.
Well, there's one thing that should be pretty clear to most people at this point, and that is that I would, if we're going to be talking about picking your poison, because obviously we don't live in a secure society, a civil society, and this has always been the case. Like Antifa, for example, you know, it's good, it's easy to meme and to point out flaws in the human, you know, the human programming. And how you can break the human mind, and how you can destroy and peel back layers of the human mind and bury triggers deep inside of it. You know, neuro-linguistic programming, trauma-based mind control. It's been well documented for a very, very long time how you can completely break a person and through trauma. And be able to trigger them into some kind of a pre-programmed set of behaviors or actions or anything. Later down the line, if you know exactly what the hell you've done to them, and what is, in a way, everybody talks about triggers. It's sometimes a jokey thing. Oh, look, they're triggered. But if you want to know what the living embodiment of a psychological trigger is, it's Antifa. You know, you have a very small group of people. Who have, you know, the Kyle Jerks of the world, who warned us what's coming. They gloated about what was coming. They show up to these hot spots where people have been habitually abused by an awful government-regulated system of being, from the police to the education to the welfare, the broken families, everything that government has caused. They are also what they have really done is not only destroyed so many aspects of American life for so many people, but they've also fertilized the grounds for the ultimate takeover one day, when all they have to do is bring people on in there who are willing to break a few windows in front of a crowd of confused, frustrated people who will immediately jump into action. Sure, there will be people that see the counterproductive nature of it all to burn down the hometowns that you're trying to preserve, that you think are being ruined by the police, not by the fact that there are private citizens who have flourishing businesses and have own houses and properties and backyards. How that is a threat to anybody that needs to be met with lethal force and with violence is beyond comprehension. But you're not dealing with complete people. The people who are engaged in violence, whether they're in there and they're actually there to actually be the psychological trigger for people, or those who actually fell in line and went along with the looting and everything else, those aren't complete people, just psychologically. There are pieces missing, and it is a residual of the system, the parts of the system that they're not acknowledging. They look at the people who are walking around with badges and batons, but not all the politicians that are telling them, you know what you do in November. They're the ones that set the policy for all this stuff. And as I said before, in other conversations, even when we were talking about Eric Garner years ago, you know, the real thing here that nobody ever talks about is we live inside such a highly regulated society. This is the reason why there's outside of people's behavioral problems and what's going on with crime rates and real things there and what may be lurking behind those issues that nobody wants to talk about. Because it would be too confrontational of an issue. But behind all that is this regulation state. The more that people, everybody, we need more laws, we need more rules. The more laws and rules you pass, the more situations you're creating where there has to be interfacing between police and citizens. And then it's just like throwing shit up against the wall. Something's going to stick. You're going to get tragedies all the time. So they keep voting and they keep demanding. Like, at this point, I just wish people would say, listen, this is not about George Floyd. Just tell us what your demands are, because then we can finally figure out what this has all been about from the beginning. Just give us your demands and stop pretending this is about George Floyd. You know, it's just so much.
What are their demands going to be?
Oh, I what do you think?
I mean,
what do you think? They're going to go into free college. They're going to go into student forgiveness.
It doesn't matter if that stuff happens. They're still going to do this shit.
This is what I'm talking about. It's about the takeover of free society. They're going to bring up reparations again. So they're just going to want large cash payouts. I mean, they're taking advantage of this to go tear down more Civil War monuments and everything else there, too. This is a complete steamrolling of a society that has been in the crosshairs for generations now.
We have a video from last night in D.C., Frank, and I've not listened to this yet, but these assholes took a homeless guy's stuff.
I saw that.
They're putting his mattress in the fire right now. He's trying to take it out.
What the fuck are you doing?
The guy has nothing but that mattress and one other piece of furniture.
Yeah, but so, he has privilege.
Lots of privilege.
He has lots of privilege.
There's a lot of white people around him, from what I can tell.
And that's the whole point here. You want to talk about race. Who is still holding the leash? Who's still holding the leash? Everybody's talking about race and slavery and oppression. And they're being led around by a bunch of ideological misfits from the Frankfurt School over here.
They all look the same, Frank.
Yeah.
I don't think they would last 5 minutes against some of the Marines.
Well, I know that the Marines are ready.
Seriously, it is going to get really nasty before it gets better. It really is.
I know they're ready, too.
They are. I mean, I'm telling you, people are going to start standing. I mean, you know, how long can they batter us? How long can they beat us before we do something about this? As citizens of this country, everybody's so used to just sitting and watching television and going to the mall. And look what they're doing. Look what these people are doing. They're trying to completely destroy this country and everything it stands for. It makes me sick to my stomach. And I will tell you, I said this yesterday. The majority of people, again, even though I live in South Carolina, a lot of people around me are liberal. And I'm going to tell you right now, they do not appreciate this and they're not on board with it and they don't think it's okay. They're not the blue check mark left on Twitter. Everyday America is not okay with this. They don't support it. They don't think it's good. They don't like it. They don't like that Joe Biden's campaign is donating money to help these people. And I'm interested to see what President Trump does and the Justice Department does to identify where the money to fund these folks is coming from overseas, because he did not designate them a domestic terror organization. So everyone's saying that, please stop it. Even the press secretary said it today. That's not what happened.
They're out there protesting in the UK right now.
Oh, yeah. Canada, too.
I mean, in earlier chapters of this play that we have seen before, it's been all over France and Germany. Antifa is an international terrorist organization.
And China is involved in this, guys. There is video coming out from around the White House right now of Chinese nationals. This is an invasion, and they've weaponized our own people. And it's been years and decades in the making. This is not something that just happened overnight. Again, this is really terrifying. And I've been so beside myself how much more can this country take? This is absolute insanity. Not only that, but I think at this point, it almost seems trivial to talk about how absolutely hypocritical these fucking lockdowns were. There are 20,000 people on the streets in LA, the same people yelling at us the other day for going to our government buildings to protest peacefully against them destroying our livelihoods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the virus spike? I have family members that are terrified to come out of their homes because of what these people have done to them. Not this violence, the fact that they could get sick.
Yeah, they're still worried about that.
Yeah.
They're still worried about the last attempt to traumatize us. You know?
2020 has been an absolute shit show of a year. The first month of this year, the first January and February of 2020, I called it the intense and overwhelming personal trauma that my family went through, which I never speak about. It was to the point where I almost broke in half. It was so much all at once. So many bad things, so many horrible illnesses and people in the hospital and people dying. And it was just overwhelming. And I said, my God, this year is not going to be good. It is not. It was literally a day after January 1st that this started happening. It was literally right after. My daughter's birthday was spent in complete disarray. And I'm just saying that because as the year has gone on, 3 months later, we got hit with a freaking pandemic, the likes of which we'd never seen before. The entire country's economy shuts down. And now we have violent terrorists trying to overtake the country.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm looking into relocation points, it's not dramatic. It's not for dramatic effect either, because if it were just Lauren and I, if it still were just Lauren and I, then we would just hunker down and whatever. But now I'm thinking about the baby.
Yeah.
So that's not something I'm saying at a dramatic effect, because I don't know how many people I've said, oh yeah, yeah, you're going to leave the country if the election goes the wrong way. See ya. No, this is not even about elections. There's no politics. I mean,
where would you even go? And if you're going to leave the country, where would you go?
Well, to be honest, it would be very easy. If you can prove Italian descent, you can get an Italian passport very easily.
You want to go to Italy?
I was. It's not because the political situation is that much better, although there is a lot of hints of pushback against the EU and UN and all that stuff. But I'm just thinking culturally. I know that outside of the United States, where do you really go to? This is the last stand right here. But if it really is a complete meltdown situation, I got to think about the baby. I at least got to consider a place who has a culture still intact. You know, they may Italians. I mean, we saw it with the pandemic when it hit over there. Yeah, everybody was locked down. Yes, it was scary, and they were the focus of a lot of the world's attention for a while there. But the one thing that wasn't broken was their culture. Yeah, they have a common culture still. We are splintered. And like I said before, how can we all be looking at this violence and not at least agree on what we're seeing? There are people that are vehemently supporting what they're seeing as righteous. That's very disturbing. If you can't even, I don't care about staying here or being anywhere where there's a fight to be had. If you know that there is, you know, an argument to be won, that there's people that you can actually talk to. But when you see that there's absolutely no chance for a reasonable conversation, even, I mean, that's just it. When those out there they say they're fighting for racial justice, but they have effectively whittled everything down to what color are you? And depending on what color you are, that's how much validity what you have to say has in the greater society. That's not a society where anybody has a chance to thrive in. Anybody. So, I mean, it's just things I'm thinking about. I'm not packing my bags or anything like that, but looking around us right now, what the hell? I mean,
I understand why you would want to leave. I think everybody has thought about, you know, what they're going to do and how they will.
I at least want a couple of dozen acres in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah. At this point, like, have.
You know, and what else is going on over the weekend? Think about all of the Russiagate, Obamagate news that's coming on out. That you won't, and like I said on my show on Saturday night, the play here is every chapter that is written for us in the present is more chaotic and more outlandish and destructive than the chapter before it. And that's always been the case, even with when we were inside of the Russia thing, where every new piece of the puzzle has to be more bombastic than the one before it. Because if you then spend time trying to point out the flaws in the last scam, you now suddenly look petty. Anybody that spends time trying to bring attention to Obamagate right now, to what is coming out of the DOJ, what we're learning about all these people and more how this has all been about a coup. You look, I mean, how, first of all, you're not even going to get any attention on you.
Yeah.
Because we got, you know, the war in the street is like, that's so much more relevant and so much more dire to people at this point. So it's just constant layering of this chaos.
It's, I'm like almost, I don't even know what to say because like I'm almost afraid to say what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's, I understand that.
I'm like sitting here in tears, Frank, because. I was just like, a bad day for a podcast. Like somebody said to me the other day, like, you need to do a video. I'm like, about what? What could I possibly say that would, what could I possibly say? Like, I'm ready to,
There's no response. Like I remember, I get emails all the time. People saying, "Don't worry, the president has nerves of steel." The president? Why are you talking about Donald Trump? He's one man. He's one man with an expiration date. No matter if he wins in November or not, he's one man with an expiration date. Do you see what's going on outside? You know, I understand that it's good to know that there's somebody in the White House who, despite whatever, you know, he sees things for what it is, regardless of what he's able to do on his own. But there's not much he can do on his own.
There's nothing that he can do on his own. And so, yeah. When he's done, like, I don't even see what the path to November is at this point. I mean, this is unprecedented. Like this, but I am going to say something that probably some people will disagree with. He needs to say something. He needs to stand up in front of the country and say something. You know, he needs to take off all the politically correct bullshit and speak to us the way he did when we elected him president. And get I mean, the battle lines have been drawn. Pacifying these crazies is not going to do anything. You're not winning over any hearts and minds anymore. People are firmly planted on one side or the other at this point. There's those folks in the middle. I don't think they're going to the left. I don't think they can possibly go to the left because I still believe the majority of Americans are good people with morals and integrity. The vast majority of them. There are these. And the problem is that we have allowed these crazy lunatic extremists to take over all the technology platforms, the universities. They've embedded themselves in strategic places on purpose to get to this very point. They've brainwashed kids that are in their 20s and they're using them in their political game at this point. And so the president needs to speak to us today. It is mandatory. No more tweeting. Get out in front of a microphone and say something. Please say something.
Definitely needs to be a little bit of a recapturing of that 2016 mojo because it's not there. It's not there.
I don't expect him, Frank, to come out and say, here's what we're doing. We're going to get these people. Here's how. I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now. Strategically, he's very busy, obviously, you know, all this stuff. But he needs to sit in front of a camera and talk to the people who support law, order, justice, and freedom, and get us unified. You know, so many people are scared right now, and I don't think that necessarily they would be less scared if he said something and unified people, but he's not going to unify these lunatics on the left. He's not going to, they're not coming. Forget them. Forget them.
Well, when I say the like the, and when I say that he has to recapture some of that gusto from 2016, what was most of that based on? It was based on visibility. Okay. And I know that he has been able to do his daily, but you know what? It's not the same to say that what he was doing to go and connect with Americans, even leading up to January, where the rallies were still going on and he was connecting with large crowds, and you see all that turnout for him in New Jersey and all that stuff. That's the big thing. It was the visibility. And that does the daily coronavirus press conferences did not suffice for that visibility, because even if he was visible and he was able to give people words of hope and all that stuff, he was mired and bogged down by the fact that the reason why he's in front of the camera is to talk about a virus, you know, right. And it kept people inside. And now here we are again. The people are inside again. Where they have completely kept him under lock and key, whether he likes it or not. It's just tweeting and it's just press conferences about whatever kind of chaos has been drummed up in the immediate. And then you look at some places like Drudge Report, which was for all three columns for 2.5 to 3 months. It was nothing but coronavirus. And now that now it's only one little section at the bottom of the second column is just coronavirus stuff. Everything else is a mixture of how bad everything is breaking down and people who are calling out the president for it being his fault. And then these ridiculous polls of Biden is leading plus 10.
Yeah, this is that's just bull. It's just
I know it's bull. There's got to be something to visually counter it there. This all of this has been a wet blanket.
I want to play something which probably a lot of you guys have heard, but is really important. And I want everybody to remember back to 2016. This is what we elected. This is why we elected President Trump. And the reason this is all happening right now is because we elected him and he's doing what he said he was going to do. The only reason this is happening right now is because he is doing what he said he was going to do. If he was a deep state player or some kind of bad guy or some kind of, you know, hidden plant, none of this would be happening right now. We would have been disarmed and enslaved and living inside of our houses under a socialist country. Straight up. I'm sorry. It's just true. It's just true.
I agree. I agree. And that's the other thing. I wholeheartedly agree. This is not a play that would have to be enacted if it wasn't desperate times for some. What's going on in the streets right now is desperate times. You know, it is as frightening as it is. It is also a sign that this is desperate times for some. And it would not be this way if Trump had lost.
I'm looking for this video that was shared. I don't remember the account that shared it after President Trump retweeted it and Corticon got suspended. But it's important and it brings tears to my eyes because I remember, I'm just going to tell a story, Frank. So 2008, 2012, I busted my ass to try and get Ron Paul elected. I dedicated my entire life revolved around helping that man and growing what he called the revolution with love highlighted in the middle that Bernie Sanders later co-opted as his own. And I went all around the country. I was just everything about was trying to bring liberty back. Right. And I was saying this morning, half of those people when in 2012, Romney was the nominee and they scripted a floor vote at convention and all of the delegates walked out from Maine. The entire Maine delegation at the convention walked out because they scripted a floor vote that would make it so that Ron Paul could not keep his delegates, which is ironically what stopped Ted Cruz from stealing President Trump's delegates in 2016. So I dedicated my entire life to that. And then they did that to him. And I was so disillusioned with everything. I really thought we had a chance to save it. I thought that we would be able to do some things to bring the country back to liberty. And I just threw my hands up for a year or so after. And I really started looking at different political, you know, ideology. I started looking at anarcho-capitalism, not anarcho-communism, which is what Antifa does. All kinds of stuff. And I eventually just said, you know what? I don't even know anymore. This is useless and hopeless. And I don't know what the hell is going to happen here, but this isn't it. Half those people split and went radically left. They were radicalized to the left. A lot of people that I marched with for freedom and liberty turned into crazy Antifa people. This is just what happened. I tweeted about this morning, and I kind of just sat back. And then 2016 happened. And in the very beginning, when President Trump announced, I mocked him and I said, this is such bull. And then I started listening and I was like, wait a second. He's speaking out against, you know, the deep state, which is something that we talked about for years and years before it became something that everybody talked about. And I said, there's a real opportunity here, if not to support this man running for president against all odds here, but to educate people. So I declared that I was supporting President Trump, and all of the people that I'm not bragging. I had a huge following. I was a thought leader in this movement. This was what I dedicated my life to for 8 years, right? So I had everybody left. Most people left. Most people said, you're a sellout. You know, you're back to supporting Republicans. What the hell do you think you're doing? And I said, no, this is different. And then I went all in to help President Trump get elected. And I had to sort of reinvent everything. But I said, these are all people that are starting to see what the system is like, and they need to be taught what has happened before because they didn't realize what was going on underneath their noses for so long. So bring us to today. When he made the speech that I'm still searching for on my timeline, I cried my eyes out like a baby because I knew at that moment that he was 100% legit and that he was going to do everything in his power to bring the country together, to unite against this force that had overtaken not only our government, but again, radicalizing people to the left. I knew it. So to me, this is deeply personal. Because it's more than a man. And I've always said this. This is an idea. And Ron Paul always used to say, an idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government. And when people get frustrated at how long it's taking for justice to be done, I say to them, the growth in the American populace in terms of moving to liberty and moving to understanding what we're dealing with in this country over the past 3 to 4 years has been exponentially more, expanded than the 30 years before it. I can go up to anybody right now and talk to them about corruption at the FBI or, you know, what the government has done in the wars overseas. And I will not be met with people spitting at me like I was when I protested at Ground Zero in 2001. I'm still looking for it. It needs to be played and I can't freaking find it. And I'm crying. OK, I'm crying. I don't care if anybody makes fun of me, whatever. My entire life has been dedicated to fixing this shit. And so I'm at a point right now where I'm looking around and I'm like, it's time to get together, people, because our country is at stake here. Everything that we stand for is at stake right now. Everything. That's my point.
Well, I always try to find silver lining and bright sides. And of course, I guess the one thing that you can say is that, like I said, like you had pointed out before, the only reason why we're dealing with this is because it's being flushed out into the public square.
Yeah.
It's being flushed out into the light. Things that have been festering and growing and rotting behind the walls for so long. So that's number one. Number two is that regardless of how many people are out there trying to genuflect before this nonsense and pull people along for the ride, and it is a lot of people. I understand that there's people out there are Americans that are seeing this who are self-identified Democrats or Republicans or independents. They're seeing this and they're horrified by it. And I don't know if their solutions that they think that are good, or if they think that what they're going to be doing in November for as far as an election goes, if that is changing anything on that. But I know that there are people who are looking at this and says something is radically wrong and what is being done is not legitimate and is organized and it's an attack. Now, whether they're going to put their blame on where it belongs or they're going to find something else, I don't know. But people see and smell things that are very wrong right now. And I don't know. I hopefully that is something that pushes individuals to go and seek out some kind of clarity on things. And perhaps this is a little bit more of ice water to the face to see this kind of violent upheaval. But I don't know. I can't tell you how many people I've seen go absolutely insane from this. And I think that that's the biggest lure with the Antifa thing. It draws in losers. You know, there is nobody, black, white, brown, whatever the hell it is, there is nobody that is destroying businesses and private property who has anything going for them in life.
No,
nothing.
No,
there's nothing. This is a tar pit for losers. And this kind of social upheaval, the same people who are out there right now saying, how dare you, nobody's saying you have to call this out for what it is. You know, as far as people saying you have to call out racism and stop ignoring it. I'm like, what is everybody talking about? Like when I go to the studio every day, do people think that everybody along the course of their daily lives, if they're going to the bank, the grocery store, to work, we're like turning a blind eye to hate crimes? There's hate crimes going on all around us. There's constantly.
No. And that's the thing.
Everybody's calling each other out for ignoring what? I don't ignore hate crimes every day.
This is not a racist country. Like there are these people who, I mean, that's the thing. Oh, here it is. I just want to play this.
I knew this day would arrive. It's only a question of when. And I knew the American people would rise above it and vote for the future they deserve. The only thing that can stop this corrupt machine is you. The only force strong enough to save our country is us. The only people brave enough to vote out this corrupt establishment is you, the American people. Our great civilization has come upon a moment of reckoning. I didn't need to do this, folks, believe me. I built a great company, and I had a wonderful life. I could have enjoyed the fruits and benefits of years of successful business deals and businesses for myself and my family, instead of going through this absolute horror show of lies, deceptions, malicious attacks. Who would have thought? I'm doing it because this country has given me so much, and I feel so strongly that it's my turn to give back to the country that I love. I'm doing this for the people and for the movement, and we will take back this country for you, and we will make America great again.
We need that.
Yep. Well, yeah. Well, and what is the? I mean, you can get that in a YouTube video. But what was the big thing there? It's the energy of the crowd afterwards. That's why this entire year has been about taking out the crowd.
Yeah. They don't want us to be united and standing together.
You get to feed off of people. Even, you know, that's why so many people would stop what they were doing to watch these rallies from home. If it's, you know, 5 states away, 800 miles away.
I've traveled across state lines just to be there. We talked about, remember when I left Cincinnati and I said, yeah, the energy in that room was just invigorating.
That's everything. If you really follow what is important, to for humankind to really thrive and to create and manifest positive, affirmative destinies for themselves. It is that galvanizing of pure energy and positivity. You know, you can get things done driven by negative energy and rage, and you can focus that. But what it is cutting corners. It is self-destructive. You're building a foundation of just a rotten foundation. What you had going on at those rallies, which was so scary, it was almost like the end of Fantasia with the night on Bald Mountain. When you have the demon unleashing everything on the small town, and then out of nowhere, at the height of all the madness, you just have the church bells, and all of a sudden this very peaceful procession of people,
yeah,
with a whole holding the candles and these demons that you thought were that they posed this insurmountable, this force that they were just force that could not be stopped, started cowering and crawling back into their graves. And it's just, I think that was the whole point there, that energy that was generated at those rallies was so disturbing to people who have been directed by these demons for so long. That they thought in their anger and in their painted faces and in their toplessness and in their burning and massacre, desecration of churches and of war monuments and everything else. They thought that that was where the real power was. And then they see this insurmountable wave of positivity.
Yeah.
That could not be dented at all. And that's why this year was about taking out the crowd. He has got, if it's okay for people to get on the streets again, there needs to be a rally this month. There needs to be a rally this month. If it's okay for tens of thousands of people across the country to be out in the streets, you know, in Chicago, you were not too long ago, you were threatened with being imprisoned if you left your house to go for a walk in the park.
Yeah, they're arresting people for going to the park. They're arresting people for starting their businesses back up. But look what they're letting happen. Everybody, let's end on a positive note, Frank. Lock arms with your fellow patriots. Sounds cliche. Lock arms. At the end of the day, good always beats evil. Like Frank just said, it's absolutely true. You cannot quench the human spirit. There is a yearning inside people for freedom. End of story. Anybody who is advocating for, you know, enslavement by the government or otherwise is missing a part of their soul. End of story. And there's more heart and soul in this country than there is that horrible, nasty BS. Get ready to defend it and stand together against it.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna...
So, you have been listening to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Hopefully, Wednesday's show is talking about some good news.
Later.
This is a Life in the Fast Lane with Black Moses, Alan Lane Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
With all the other bullshit that's going on in the world right now, that's going on in our country right now. Like I said, I'm not a politician. I'm a guy that rides motorcycles and runs his mouth. Be nice to each other as much as possible. Sometimes you got to let people know what it's hitting for, but... please try to be nicer. Try to be kind to one another. That's all I can ask you to do. People are what they are. They're going to be who they're going to be. They're going to do what they're going to do. But I'm asking you to please make an attempt to be kinder, to be more gentle, to be nicer to human beings. human to human. You dig?
Life in the Fast Lane with Black Moses, Alan Lane can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.